Oh God, see, I gotta focus, cause...
You know, it depends on the song. Cause some of them are just like, I listen to it once and then
for some reason that melody, like I can just think of something really strong and then I'm just like, all right, I'm just gonna ride that the whole thing. Cause then like once you have the chorus and you lay that down and you have like a strong melody, that's kind of like the hardest part, I feel like, of making like the kind of music that I make. Like, cause yes, like, okay, at this point I feel like, you know, I have bars, like people know I can rap, but it's like, when I made Purple Palace, like after that, I was like, okay, I can rap now. Like I can make music, but now I'm like, I want to make good music, like choruses or like, you know, at least attempt to like try to have some more structure to my songs instead of just having like 10 freestyles. Like, okay, whatever, that's fine. But then like, no one's going to remember like lyrics that stick or whatever. It's way easier for stuff to stick when it's like a super strong melody. It's like a hook, something catchy, like an earworm. Like that's what, you know, matters nowadays. But
when you say it, go ahead.
No, it's okay, because I forgot the other part of what you were asking.
Well, because we kind of started by talking about like editing, and that there, you can like, you know, like take out the choice parts that you like.
Takes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then sometimes like, it's no surprise to anyone that like I have blah, 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 ADHD, all this kind of shit. So so that makes it really hard to feel, I don't know, like the perfectionism on some songs like is taken to, like that's kind of a problem I have right now, is that like I can make good songs, but it's not, I don't just do it like in one fell swoop anymore, because like, oh, I'm just having fun. Like, I'm just going to be silly on the beat. Like I can't do that in good conscience anymore, because I'm like, that sucks. Like I have to try. Like I have to, if I'm going to be on this song, I have to really try to like make, you know, like every lyric count or whatever. So some, or the melodies, like the specific, like hitting a word on the beat at the exact same time as, you know, the last line to make like a perfect rhyme or something like that. Those sometimes like I can record, sometimes like certain songs will take like 50, you know, 50 takes over and over and over and over and over again, like, or 30 at least, like, you know, something like that. Like,
because you're trying to match like this. Yeah. And I'll get sense.
But then it's like you do it for so long and then you get like, you get disconnected from how the whole thing even sounds, because you're just like listening to this one tiny little snippet over and over and over again. So then it all just starts to sound like shit. Cause if you listen to anything over and over again, it's going to sound like terrible. So, and annoying. So if you keep doing that over, but sometimes like, you know, just like other hyper fixations, I get locked in on one part of it. I'm like, damn it, this isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right. So that's really annoying. But those are songs that I usually don't end up feeling that confident about. Cause I'm like, if it took me that long to get it right, then maybe the flow was never meant to be. But when like something like Lay Me Down, which I'm really proud of that one, I like, well, I had that beat in the back for a long time, but when I like got on it, the flow kind of just came to me as I kept saying stuff and like wrote some more stuff down. So it was like, it's, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, because sometimes you'll just hit gold immediately and other times you have to like keep digging. But
there's pardon the interruption. I did get this Bundaberg for you if you'd like it at any point.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I came equipped with lots of drinks.
Like double equipment. I was like, okay.
None of them are alcohol.
Lest a dehydration occur.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, I have this sense of like, you said like 10 different things, and then it's always this choice of like which thing do you respond to, and the desire to like respond to all of them. I mean, you're talking about like takes and the difference between like some songs kind of like, you know, they're like in and out, like come with this more like meant to be kind of like lack of friction, and then there's like these kind of ones that you really gotta like stomp out and like, you know, keep at it, and then leaves you like not knowing like, oh, was it meant to be? It makes me curious, because like one thing that I really liked about like your album, which I listened to maybe, I don't know, like three or four times, because I was like, I wanna like I was like, oh, cool. You can like really like feel like you know somebody to the extent that I felt like we, so for folks listening, like we work at a grocery store. That's how I first met you. Mm-hmm. But I felt like, wow, in this 1 hour of music, I know more about this person than like I probably ever would have known about them just from, you know, bagging groceries together.
Good.
Is that that's some like, can you talk about like that aspect of like where that thinking like kind of exists in your system of making music, like what you want to communicate or like how you want to connect,
like the purpose, like the goal of my music?
Sure.
I think about that all the time. And I feel like every, you know, like every artist has to think about that at some point. Like, what's the point of the stuff that I'm making? And like, obviously I'm not gonna, it's disingenuous to be like, oh, I thought about this song, like this is supposed to mean the plight of, you know, gay people or some stuff like that, because none of it was ever, you know, if what I said, then that's exactly like what I said. There's like some deeper meaning to some of it, but not really at all. It's just, you know, like there's context to why I made those songs. But so I would say like when I first started, my purpose was like just to do it, to see if I could do it. And for a while I was doing it, but I wasn't really doing it. Like I was doing it for myself, for some, mm-hmm. I was really confident about it, but I sucked. Like, you know, it, like objectively, I was
on
terrible.
That whole like skill familiarity.
Yeah, I was like just, I thought it was cool and it was just something like novel that I was doing or whatever. And I, you know, bragged to my boyfriend at the time, like I was rapping and stuff like that, but I wasn't really fucking doing that. I was like barely doing lame ass poetry on like whatever. So it was and then it kind of evolved into like, you know, slowly like just loving the art of rhyming over time. So that was kind of the purpose, just to try that out. But I still kind of sucked and I wasn't, you know, and the more that I went up, I wasn't feeling as confident about it. And so there is no, like, maybe one day I want to have the attention span and, like, you know, the health to attempt to even, like, tackle important stuff or say anything, you know, worth saying or something like that. But right now it's kind of just, it was always more for myself, like to make myself feel better as an outlet. So that's what it started. And with the past, with this past album, it's probably evolved to exactly what you said. Like, well, I did kind of want a sort of biography of myself. I didn't want to just like, you know, instead of being, you know, the last one, Purple Palace, was kind of a little bit more vague. It was still kind of getting there, like lyrically, like, you know, like being able to kind of describe some certain situations, but not really go that deep. And that's like, so as long as people can listen to it and kind of get me a little bit and dig that, then that kind of justifies why I feel like need to do as much talking in person, which lately I just don't feel like. So it's how I express myself when I'm at home. Cause when we're at the grocery store that we work at, I'm, you know,
that shall not be named.
Yeah, shall not
maybe
be named.
Not name it.
You know, it's just hard. It's like monotonous. And for somebody that's like tripping about being bored all the time and not having enough stimulation, it's like a little hellish for me sometimes. So being able to go home and act like I have a superpower that I can do this and like, you know, then walk back in like a normal dude the next day and, you know, but have people still be able to kind of understand me and like what I'd be going through and shit like that. Then that's all I need for me right now. And then with every album, you know, you can kind of sharpen up your, that goal and that, like, what's the intent of this? What's the point of this? Do I want to just make bangers? Do I want to just like, you know, so. But I'm still, my music is very much still in its infancy, I feel like, so.
Do you,
more to come.
Do you think about like the like the, I was gonna say like a, any kind of like timeline of like, oh, you see yourself like doing this for, I know, another year or 5 years or intermittently for the rest of your life? Or is that kind of a question that more like shuts down like whatever kind of like creative impulse kind of got you started in it, making music?
What do you mean? Like if someone is like, are you going to do this for the rest of your life? Like what are you doing this for? Like,
I mean,
or like how long are you doing this gig basically?
Yeah, but I wonder, like, is that even, like, an important question? Because I keep thinking about, like, all that really matters isn't, like, is it impactful or meaningful you in the moment? And, like, does it then inspire, like, the desire to make, like, another album afterwards? Like, does the process of, like, continuing to, like...
Yeah, and having, like, reactions like this, like, where... Or, like, Ray is telling me he's actually listening to it and, like... You know, and I know that, like, some people are just my friends, but I also like, I have no idea how to fucking market. So I'm, like, I'm not trying to be famous or anything like that right now, but, or anytime soon, really. It's still kind of just been, like, you know, going out and working, I don't know, working out or something. It's just self-improvement. Mm. It's, like, it's the best part for me is seeing, like, to be able to, you know, objectively say that, okay, the last one sucked compared to this one.
Huh.
Like, it was trash. The stuff I made a year ago was that I thought was amazing was whack compared to this stuff.
Huh.
And then I know that next year, if I'm still doing this, I'll say the same thing about this, which blows my mind because I'm like, this is the best shit I've ever made. So that's kind of just like, I feel like maybe that's how it goes for a lot of people is like every album is just like, I want to level up each time with something, you know, like... So I don't really think about how long I want to do it, but I also find it cool that, like, with a lot of interest in my life, I just lose. Sorry.
Moby has an itchy mouth.
Yeah, I have an itchy mouth. I lose interest really quick, so I'll get in my phases of liking stuff and then dropping out. And that happened with my college major. Like, I used to be all about plants, thought I was going to do all that, and then the horrors of college... you know, had something else in store for me. So now I want nothing to do with plants or whatever. Every now and then I'll come back around to, you know, certain stuff. But rap has like been there the whole time. Always. There's ever since I started like 4 years ago, I've been like, I want to keep making stuff like every single day. So that's rare. It's rare to find something that, like, finally, for once, like, I'm not, like, I'm bored of this. Like, this isn't just a phase. Like, at least right now, it's still not a phase. I'm still going strong. So, and the fact that I went through, like, writer's block after graduating college and was, like, so fucking excited to, like, start making music. And then I, like, basically had to die for, like, 7 months and, like, process, like, oh, my God. Like, I just got through the worst 4 years of my life. Like, now I have no friends. Like, nothing good came of my school. I'm going to be in debt. Like... what am I gonna make music about? You know, I'm fucking, like, that was terrible. I mean, also, it's like you are in the military for like 4 years. You know, you're totally isolated from, so when I got out of it, I was like, I thought I was gonna make all these rap songs and stuff like I was in school, but I was like adjusting to just kind of being a normal Joe and going to work and coming back and doing what everyone else has been doing for the rest of their lives without having to go to some big ass stupid school. So took 7 months off and then, or like writer's block for 7 months. So when I came back, it was like literally made me like cry. I was so fucking happy I made a song.
Huh. But then you made, I mean.
Then I made them all.
Then
like,
you made.
And like, I was just like, I'm on fire. As soon as I made the first one, I was like, fuck it. And then I was like, and then I already knew. I was like, so, but I don't want that sort of phase, like writer's block phase to happen again. I don't ever want to like go lights out for that long again. But, you know, I want to always keep on doing stuff, even if it's in the background. But we'll see, you know, life happens.
Yeah, I mean, life is, God damn it, Moby.
Moby's throwing up a peanut butter label right now.
How loud will you be on mic, bro?
It's nummy. He had an avocado and peanut butter. He's having a mukbang.
What's a mukbang?
Where people eat a bunch of food on camera.
Okay. Well, there's so many. I don't know if there's any mukbang pods out there, but
let's do it.
I doubt any misophonia people will be into that.
Are you good? One moment.
God damn it.
See, you know what the funny part is right before that happened, I said life happens. And look what just happened. A bunch of life.
That's living. Can I ask you, like, I'm backing up here in my head. I think I deliberated like telling you this either like through text or after like seeing you in the store, but I really appreciated that like in your music you had something specific to talk about, and there are like definitely some super dark themes and content that you were getting at in this album. Even though like to me like the title like kind of gives it like a perspective of like a way to be like, okay, it's okay for it to be dark because like it's not completely just like, you know, impossible. But I think it, like, I feel really appreciative, like, anytime somebody makes something that feels honest like that. And I was wondering, like, did you feel, like, in the process of making this music, like, oh, okay, like, I'm just gonna talk about, like, what's real for me and, you know, fuck it. Like, this is what I care about, so this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's like you can let it be your diary too, because now as an adult, I live far away from my mom. And so all the mistakes that I make are not governed by her. So that means that they're my mistakes. And, you know, I have to deal with the consequences of my actions without. And some of this stuff is, you know, really embarrassing. So, for example, if I may be honest, I mean, the reason why I have writer's block for a long time, I was using a lot of different drugs for those, like, 6 months. I say the shit that I'm using, like, every 5 minutes on the album. So, it's not that hard to glean, like, but... But, like, now I have, like, lasting issues with, you know, my face and my nose. And I thought it was, like, oh, kind of funny, haha. But then it just now it's, like, manifested into something else. So now it's this T, too. You know, so it's not just a T. It's, you know, the other stuff as well. But I like to think that I, you know, like, that's the only place where I, like, can be honest and, I don't know, like, leave it out there as a record. And it's kind of like a code, you know, it's like encoded information. If you're, like, kind of savvy and you understand what I'm saying, then you can, you know. But, like, my mother, like, I can't tell her that shit. Like, I was, you know, I was just on this road trip with her to go see Oregon. And I was thinking for like 2 months, I was like, I'm going to tell her that I was doing coke for like 7 months because my nose is fucked up. And I wanted to like let her know because, you know, I'm always doing shit with it or I'm always having nose spray or whatever now. and, or it's always bleeding or something. And so it's just, you know, it's like, I've never had that issue before. So like, what's the deal? And also like, I want to be honest with her. Cause I feel like at this point, like I'm, you know, I'm leaving to Oregon. I'm going to put all that shit behind me anyway. So I'm not planning, I don't want to do anything like that. You know, can't basically ever do anything like that again. I've used up all my tries in life. So, but you know, she never, I was thinking she was going to talk to me about it after listening and be like, what are you, have you been doing this or whatever? You know, kind of like she used to do, grill me when I was a kid and like would read my messages or some shit. But she never did, whether that's out of like, you know, just thinking that I'm joking about that maybe, or just saying it, playing it up because it's a rap song or whatever, or she doesn't understand what I'm saying, then who knows? But I don't know. I like being real. That's, you know, that's the main point of it. And I'm glad that it feels real to someone else, because, you know, the whole time I'm making stuff, I'm always thinking, like, oh, this isn't focused enough. Or I just feel like, like, this is all over the place. Like, no one gives a fuck. Like, but to be able to make a bunch of those songs in short succession, like in a few months, you know, can kind of accurately, just like a, you know, a photo book from like a season or something like that. It's kind of the same thing. It's like, all right, now I'll remember exactly how I was feeling, what I was doing at that time, what the fuck I was going through, you know. That's when I was living in Berkeley and doing a bunch of shit and just came out of it and, you know, was about to leave.
Like the...
And in 5 years,
super time capsule effect.
Yeah, basically, like, but an audio time capsule, pretty much.
Yeah,
well, if for myself, you know, definitely.
No one will be able to have all of the mental context that you have as the person who like both, you know, makes the music and then like hears the music back and it can like, you know, reflect on all of your experiences that have like somehow made a context for like it. Being generated to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I like when people tell me my music is hard. That's the biggest compliment. But I also, one day I want that to switch to like, damn. You know, that was not on some preachy shit, but you know, like that was just a really powerful song or some shit, you know?
To clarify, like when you say hard, like that there's like challenging material or that
no hard like as in it's slang, like it's like cool, you know, like,
got you. Okay,
you know, good. Damn, that shit hard, bro. Like,
okay, I'm, you know,
like just a good ass rap song.
Yeah, like it's in, it was, well, for me it's just like the like it's like the enjoyment, like, oh, like to hear that again is like pleasurable, or to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's just different, you know, rap slang. But yeah, same idea.
But and
it slaps. It's whatever, you know. It's a banger.
I have like this big ass list of questions here, which is like funny because I haven't looked at it at all. But I've like enjoyed like the way that the conversation has meandered already. And I'm changing gears here a moment, but you had mentioned like that you've thought about having a podcast before, and I'm curious, like what's your podcast universe look like?
Oh, my podcast universe will be a whole wacky variety of characters and propaganda pieces and
for real
probably like rap songs too, and like, or I don't know, you know, sometimes I just also like, I also appreciate comedy as a, you know, form of art, so I, that would be the same thing, you know, to just sit around and get, you know, either stoned or whatever and crack jokes with somebody for like an hour. Because I feel like sometimes I'll be on a roll, so like sometimes I need to record my conversations to accurately like depict how ridiculous I or the ridiculous shit I say sometimes.
If there was just a recorder like trailing you around mm-hmm. the whole day, there.
But right now, that's in the form of music, so you know, we'll get there. What's on your questionnaire?
What would famous perp say to you? What would millionaire perp say to you?
It's a skill issue. And then call me in the F slur.
You'd be cussing yourself out?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I would say, dude, you suck. That shit is whack. Delete your SoundCloud.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you get the point, but yeah, that's probably exactly what I would say. And that would motivate me.
Have to continue to level up kind of a thing.
Because mm-hmm. like I said, you know, this stuff is going to be old news in a year. Something different.
And just on and on until eternity.
For now. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know? Still getting me through the mundanity of normal life right now, so.
What is the mundanity of normal life? Is that a fract question?
No. Well, I don't know. I don't know how people wake up and you go to work for 8 hours. And you talk to the same people about work for 8 hours while you're at work for 8 hours. And then you go home, you sleep for maybe, you know, 6 hours because you need to have time at home to like live. Either you go to sleep right when you get home or you stay up late and then you're effed for the next morning. And then the next morning, guess what you have to do? Go to work for 8 hours. All just to look forward to like what 2 days of like, okay, here's some free time. Great, thanks.
Good kindergarten teacher snack.
Yes, like I didn't sign up for this. Okay, I signed up to make money and not be super fucking depressed every single day because I'm just like there's nothing like, you know, I'm not evolving. Like there's nothing happening. And there's corporate annoyances left and right. But what am I going to do about it? Nothing, because I still have to make money. So who's really the freaking loser? You know? And that's why I've, you know, not on no, like, bring down the bourgeoisie, like, you know, fuck capitalism shit. But sometimes I do feel like that. I'm just like, well, you know, if you can't beat them, you got to join them. You got to be your own businessman, you know? Mm-hmm. I would love to just be able to make money off of doing shit like that, like just music or comedy. But I understand, obviously, that's also not reality. I'm not famous, so... And I can't rely on that. I have to be a normal working human and do my stuff in the meantime and just keep it fun. And fun has got me here now, so... Mm-hmm. Who knows? It might take me somewhere else in the future. The only problem is marketing nowadays. You think it's like so fucking easy, but like, no one likes when you're trying to blow up on TikTok. You know, no one likes when you're trying to push your music and sound like, hey, like in the hip hop community, every fucking Instagram comment says, hey, you guys. You know, Juice WRLD really inspires me, man. Every single day I wake up and I think about him and it helps me make the music that I want to make. Right now I'm just a small underground artist, but if you subscribe to me, I promise that I'll shut up.
There's that was so great.
They all sound the same. Every single of these like and then I see people like the underground scene going crazy for like just the weakest shit. Like maybe I'm an old head. I guess I am now because I'm just like, because the younger rappers that I hear, like, well, I guess the rage type beats, like the Yeet rappers and whatever. That's a side quest, but
there's a lot of side quests available.
There's a lot, yeah. Don't start a conversation with me.
No, no, but you're in the middle of talking about, like, being an old head in marketing and...
Yeah, I don't know how to do all that. I don't know, like... I don't want to be annoying like that. I think it's much cooler that somebody... I get a notification saying that somebody found my reel and followed my page because of it, like...
You know?
Instead of like, oh, I asked people to go fucking look at my page. Then you're like literally asking for people to come bully you and be like, you suck, like, delete all your stuff, like... So, you know, whatever. Just doing the monotony of normal life until miracles do happen sometimes. Not saying it will happen to me or I necessarily want it to, but like sometimes they do. And if I'm having fun anyways, then might as well just keep posting all my shit on Instagram and whatever. Because it's fun to make little videos and, you know, shit anyways. So if that blows up, then cool. But other than that, I know I gotta make a bag, like doing some other stupid shit, like flipping a pizza or something. I'm just kidding. Man, I gotta do something with plants. I'll do something soon. But...
Do you, for real, like, even though school fucked it all up, there's still something left over for...
School ruined everything, true. But also, Berkeley has left a super sour taste in my mouth. I just don't want to do anything with anyone here.
Sorry, Berkeley.
Yeah, sorry, Berkeley. No, not really. You know, so...
Sorry, not sorry.
So I just need to once I reinvent myself, then I'm cool. Like, I just need to get out of the incredibly, like... I don't know. School lingers over me. There's a dark cloud over the UC Berkeley campus, with a giant radius over this whole town. It's just like... Wow. It's the institution itself. It's the fact that I went and let myself get scammed for shit, basically, and, you know, having to go through it with COVID, with all these demented teachers that didn't know how to run computers or have sessions. So everything was just like, I'm paying fucking so much money for this, and I'm depressed as hell, and I'm not going to drop out. Knowing me, I'll be super mad. So I don't want anything to do with that or schools in general, colleges in general, just... Maybe I'll go work at a botanical garden or something, you know.
The education system is really fascinating to me because I never went to college, but I only went to college for a little bit. And now I'm like working in a place where a lot of people are entering or they're at some stage in the college sort of process. And then I speak to people like you or like listen to different people like who have been in the education system, like speak about their time there in this way that's like very bubble bursting to hear, where it's like has kind of, I don't know, really got me thinking about like how is it that things have come to be this way, and also like, you know, where can we go from here if like there's this kind of like really strong sentiment from you that I would like agree with, that's like it's somehow the thing that should be like the most like amazing, sacred, like wonderful experience is like can have this kind of like kind of negative and negatively forming impact.
Yeah.
And maybe that's paraphrasing what you're saying and like not, you know, words that you would choose, but
Well, there's a few different factors for my college specifically that, like, I was in the COVID years for literally the end of my freshman year. Or no, like, I had one semester of normal school and then my second semester, right, as 2020, because it was, like, in March. That's when they told everyone to go home. So that was my second semester of college, like, and then everything shut off until basically junior year. And then at the same time, so then that basically screwed it all up because I didn't have a normal college experience. And I was locked in with this, you know, guy that I was with for a while. Then when we broke up, I was super isolated and like not trying to make any friends or, you know, and I couldn't because no one was here. So, but also like shit with my dad. Like, he went all crazy bananas right as soon as I went to school. So that was happening too, which made everything super hard. And fucking what else? Yeah, my mental health was poo-poo. I was, like, you know, putting burns on my skin and face all the fucking time. Like, just doing stupid shit. Like, so I didn't have a good time, to say the least. But everyone's different, you know. If your parents have a super lot of money and they're together and everything's great and fine and they support you and they let you come home to your, you know, a big house for summer break. Also, I moved from, you know, San Diego as soon as I went to college. Boom, I moved. So the whole house I grew up in for like 18 years up until that point, my family home that all my sisters and everyone lived in, you know, in San Diego, boom, sold the same day I left for college. So when I was driving away from the house, I wasn't just saying bye to like people for college. I'm like saying bye to my whole fucking life, all my friends, my house down there, bye.
It's like everything. Real chapter closed.
Yeah, for real. And then my mom moves up to Red Bluff, which is farther than I am.
Got you. Okay.
And then my dad's now on like crack and shit like that. So like that happened eventually, but that, like, you know, so that didn't help either. And then, so I had a lot to worry about, a lot more than just school, but I also didn't want to fail in school. So I did whatever the fuck I could to stay awake. If you catch my drift, and do my work.
Yeah.
And I didn't get diagnosed for Adderall until the last semester, my last semester of college, after I had already smoked an incredibly stupid substance with somebody the month before. I didn't tell him that part, of course, obviously, but I was like, okay, this is a recurring issue. And I was like, I need help. Like, I can't fucking focus. This has been my issue this whole fucking time. Like, I didn't fucking, you know, I had thoughts about it for like ever since freshman year. I was like, I can't do this shit. Like, I feel just stupid. Like, I can't focus on stuff. Like, it's all like, it started growing way too overwhelming, like super fast. And like, so I would, you know, whatever.
There's like a lot. I feel like that was like five different huge things that you were all.
Point is, like, everyone has a different experience, you know. I certainly did. I didn't have a good time, so that's kind of tainted my, you know, image, because I don't feel like I've really gained anything in life out of it. Other than, like, I know what I never want to do ever, or the type of people I don't want to be around, the type of situations I don't want to be in, like, the kind of money I don't want to spend, you know, where I want to put my money and stuff like that. So it's taught me everything that I, you know. And Berkeley was just supposed to be the place I went to college, not the place to, you know, live. So I just got to go. And, you know, I hope that just being away from something that triggers such a dark Pavlovian response in my head, like just even thinking about or hearing about, it will make me just, you know, innately happier, hopefully. That's the master plan.
Like, also put this chapter to a close and just
like develop, I did with San Diego, a new
set of associations. Mm-hmm. But like with the new, like the context and the new experience of like, here's what I learned from like this time here. Because four years is long enough to like.
Here's what I like to do. Okay, I hate school. You know, I started making music halfway through it. And so I was like, God, this is way better than going to any class. Like, why didn't I start doing this years ago? So it was kind of the same thing. Just like I had to go to class in the morning, then at night I would become Superman and rap. And then like, so, but this divide in my mind started happening. It's like, there's two paths in life. You can either be academic or you can be creative. You know, I feel like
it seems so drastic.
It is kind of drastic, but if you think about it, you know, it's like, well, maybe not. And then maybe there's some scragglers on the side too, maybe, I would say. But people that, you know, if you pick a good career, if we're talking about good careers, it's either a, you know, in academia somewhere, or it's creativity, or maybe not academia, or just business, but you get the point. Like, I could be a square in the lab and stuff like that and do stuff that makes me totally feel like unstimulated and boo, like this sucks. Like,
you feel this distinction between like the creative.
Either be a square or be a circle and go home and rap and make music and be creative and try to do something. And like, I respect that. So, but yeah, you know, make some new associations, like with the added knowledge of like, okay, like I'm done with college now. I know that, I don't know, I don't have that to stress about. All the friendships I make won't be, everybody that I've ever been friends with in Berkeley has been direct, still has been friends with me in my school years, like has met me out of my work, like my worst years of my life, like so far, like. It all just feels like a bad fever dream that's kind of gotten out of hand almost at some points. Like, it's like, I still love everyone that I know and like, you know, appreciate all you guys and of, you know, I appreciate everybody that's around me and that I talk to and stuff in my daily life. But like the memory of the immediate surroundings are too nightmarish for me to, you know, they just outweigh any other positive I could get from being here. I'm just so, you know, over it pretty much. So maybe that's also the ADHD too. Like I'm just fucking bored here and I just want to do something new. Maybe I'll do it in 5 years again when I leave Portland and
yeah,
who knows. But it's like, you know, the most inspirational thing was that my sister, when I told her about this plan a long time ago, I was just like, she was like, well, it doesn't matter if you get there, you could hate it. She's like, you could hate it all you want. You could get there and you could think it's the worst decision in your life, but the fact is that you did it. You just got to think about how you did it. I'm like, you... I was like, damn, she kind of fucking right. Like, who the fuck else does that? Twice. I mean, people do that, but I, to be honest with you, it's hard for me to look around and be really, really close with people that, you know, half of it is like my disdain for Berkeley, like just built into me, my bias to, you know, automatically be against anything Berkeley. But I feel like some people just want to be, just stay put and just be kind of complacent at, you know, whatever. Edit it out. I don't care.
I got to burn this. I'm going to burn my whole apartment down now.
Yeah, burn it down. Whatever. You get the point. You know, like, so I just feel like people just want to kind of stay put and talk about the same things and not, you know, go do anything or like really get out or kind of, I guess, progress or evolve. And that's always what I'm thinking about. I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, not to sound corny or sound like I'm holier than thou, but that's genuinely like what I stress about all the fucking time is like, what can I do to like better, like to be a better person today? Or like either for myself or somebody else or, you know, to like myself a little bit more, to give myself some more confidence or to some way to just progress in my life instead of just sitting around and being a couch potato all day. And so I just feel like with people, you know, sometimes it's hard to, you know, I don't know. That's why I think about bounce.
I think about this all the time. Like I'm 35 or I'm 36 now. And I don't have much, like, I don't have any like academic achievements to really show for what I've done, but I feel very much this pull of like, unless like life isn't about like constantly growing or some kind of like evolution, it feels like something is like missing. And I think like the adventure can happen like in many different ways. Like it doesn't, I don't think it's always a, like at least for me, I don't think it's always about moving, but like moving can be an aspect of like this continuous yeah, like progression in life.
Just but, changes in general. You know?
Yeah, but like,
and making them yourself, you know, being able to, you know, I can't control certain things about, you know, certain people or whatever, but I can control, you know, how I feel about this situation. And, you know, I found that scientifically my interest here has just plummeted. So the only thing that makes sense would be to leave, you know?
It's been scientifically determined.
It has been. Like me and you have talked, like we have conversations constantly about shit besides like meta conversations, you know, about what we're doing at work and stuff like that. And so
we have had some,
most of ours are not, like, and that's, so that I respect, but you know, I can't, you know, it's hard to see people that are so young want to be so like locked in and I don't know. I don't want to sound like a jackass, like, but just like you said, you know, thinking about progressing and stuff like that, like, there's always an ick in my heart, like, damn, like, I'm not doing shit. Like, I'm not really doing shit with my life. You know, I feel like a lot of people think about that. Like, but I feel like a lot of people also don't think about that. And it's hard for me to kind of see that. And that environment is fostered by, you know, where we, you know, where we be at. So
the strange land, the alternate universe of Grocery Simulator.
You know, people are just cool. Like, it baffles my mind. I see people that have, you hear people that have worked there for 15 years. I'm like,
but
I've been there for like two, you know, and I, you know, truthfully,
so different strokes for different
Strokes for different folks. Just I either think about how to change the, you know, my experience at the job, you know,
yeah.
Or if that doesn't work, then, you know, bouncing around. So, but it's crazy when, you know, 15 years, my senior and stuff like that, and they're still going strong, happy as hell. And I'm just like, am I missing something? Like, is this all you do? Do you have,
no.
Do you rap at home? Like,
where is the magic for you?
Yeah.
Like, where is the,
that's why the music is so fucking important.
It feels fucked up to be blunt and say like, are some people dead inside? And it's like, well, I feel bad for saying that. And yet I also sing it out loud. I'm like, maybe. Like, and how do you say that in a way that's not about like, oh, well, I'm like, you know, now over here in my like world of like ultra discernment and like ultra self-congratulations. But I think there is something to be said about like, everyone's like living this life and everyone's life is at least in some part, like externally visible to like everyone else. And that can give you information about like what kinds of options there are to have in life, like different ways of like finding yourself. And it's like, you know, in this case, it's like the notion of like doing, you know, groceries for 15 years just sounds like, you know,
mind
explosion.
Yeah. Just mashed potatoes up there.
Just like, I gotta check out early because like otherwise my mind will disintegrate into.
Yeah, you know, like I feel like I'm dead inside sometimes. People are definitely dead inside. There's no doubt about that because there's people that murder other people and there's people that do horrible things. So people are definitely dead inside in some capacity. Depends on how you want to define dead inside. But like if we're talking like at a retail job, definitely. Like I would see, you know, damn well that some of those, you know, like the hires like don't really necessarily look that pleased to be, you know, they're not on their tippy toes all day. Like, you know, what would make sense for somebody their position, like
that sense of invigoration.
Yeah. Like, you know, they're all about, they have a bit more, you know, control over what goes on there and can, you know, have some more benefits and stuff like that too. But they look just as, it's like almost a vortex. It's like,
oh wow.
That's how I feel about it. It's like every week it's like, well, at least for me, like not so much the job itself, but for me, I'm a really slow starter. So, you know, like when I get home, I'm like, thinking I'm going to do all this shit as soon as I'm about to be off, and then I'll walk home for, you know, 40 minutes or whatever, and by the time I get back, you know, up until that point I walk through my door, I'm like still thinking like, all right, I'm going to go rap when I get home, or I'm going to play this game or I'm going to look for an apartment or something like that. And I get home and it never happens. I just like fall into a trap of like, kind of fall into the vortex. Like, oh, you get home, you're kind of too tired to really do anything. And you give yourself that 10-minute break to like relax because you're like, I just walked home, you know? Yeah, exactly. Or something, you know, longer. And then it just stretches into, oh, well, now I'm just tired as hell and I don't even want to make dinner. Or like, for me, it happens almost every night. I don't want to make dinner. I'm too tired to even like play my game because that requires focusing. And I just want to like look at shit and just be done. Like after I had to like try so hard to like stay on point today. Now I'm just like, ugh, let the belt buckle loose and pop the button off and just be like dumb, you know? But then you fall into that vortex because then you wake up the next morning and then you're like kind of behind schedule a little bit. Like stuff you had to do last night didn't get done. So now you're like, oh, well, I'm not really going to get too much done in 3 hours of this morning after waking up before I have to go back and do the same thing. So I'll try again tonight. But then the same thing happens. You get home and you go on your phone. Fuck. Maybe you make dinner for yourself, but you still need to do the other shit. Or you still, you know. Only when you get those few days off, you know, in the middle, encapsulated by the rest of the week, then that's when you can have that little bit of reprieve to, like, do some stuff. But even then, it's, like, not on the bookends of, you know, your weekend anyway. Because on one side, you just got off work. And on the other side, you're getting ready to go back. So it's like a, you know. So yeah. That's kind of that one night in the middle. That's where you get to feel happy and shit like that.
You're describing this whole like mental landscape of like the like relationship with time and how you had that phrase about like slow starting and how like the.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always behind schedule. That's how I feel like I'm, you know. I say I'm running on a motor, but, you know. And I am sometimes when I'm like on go, but that's like happens in that small rendezvous time right in the middle, like where I can kind of recollect everything. I'm like, okay, really enjoy. Like I am right in the middle of my weekend, just chilling out. But then too much to the other side, a couple hours after that, you're like, fuck, I got to go to work in a couple hours, like, or tomorrow when I wake up. What's there to enjoy, you know?
I got to pause for a sec here.
Go ahead. See, I'm falling into the trap I'm talking about. This way too much.
I'm Moby Bobby Dobby. Moby Bobby Dobby.
What's the, like, a fake commercial interlude?
Okay.
Hi, we're coming to you live from the factory of... Now I gotta think about what kind of factory this is.
Okay, I'll think about it.
What kind of widgets we make in here?
Don't do that. Thank you very much. What are you... Are you good?
Moby's got an itchy mouth.
Do you ever feel like you need a non-alcoholic, Australian, family-owned bottle with 375 milliliters of orange liquid? Well, you're in luck. We're Bundabergs. We live in Australia, off the Great Barrier Reef, and we collect peaches off the nearby orchards, and we harvest them for our drinks. We also have other flavors, such as guava and... the Australian dingleberry soda. You also need to invert the bottle before opening.
Please see your practitioner for details about any bottling version that you may have had. We report no delicious side effects from consuming any of these beverages.
It might make you poop. and throw up and diarrhea all over yourself too. So you just gotta watch out for those consequences that you might have. But actions have consequences, so it's okay. Come on down to Bundaberg and get yours today.
They were about to sponsor this episode with a case of peach Bundaberg, and now they're like, oh no, people are gonna find out that. I think Bundaberg's solid. I think they'll be like fine. Are you up for a few more questions about kind of like music world?
Yeah.
I'm just looking over many, many things here. Is there a process of like writing lyrics down and recording, and like do those kind of have like a back and forth kind of like component to them?
Yeah, it's very tricky. Recording is like a different beast. Like I write stuff every day. Like even when I was on writer's block, I was writing shit every day. Like my notes, hold on, let's see. Every single time I'm at work or trying to just...
Purp is going through his phone here.
Yes. Okay. So from the past, from the beginning of 2024, I have 147 notes in my phone. And also those aren't just like small notes. Like each one of them is probably like a whole song I was working on and then another half or something like that. So like lots of lyrics, like lots of scrolling through. And then I just like kind of disregard most of them but I do write, and then I hop into the booth once I, the hardest part besides the chorus is coming up with the first lyric of the song, because it opens it up and you don't want to start with something that's mixed bad or is like a stupid line or sounds like bad to the ears, because then it's going to throw the whole fucking thing off, even if the end of it is fire. Like,
so it really matters. Is that even that?
I think so. The intro, hook, just like they tell you in school, like you want to start with a hook, right? In your paper. So you need to like kind of reel them in like a little bit. You can't start with some ass like, and no one's trying to hear you build up the beat. You're not Lil Wayne. So like, we're not doing that. So like, I'll got to start with the haymaker, you know, or a bar. Emphasis on it being a bar. Now, a bar is, I had to explain this to my grandpa because he came and listened to all my stuff the other day, which was awesome. But
that's awesome.
A bar is like, you know, basically like a punchline in rap. That's what I fucking should have said to him.
You're like, that's a perfect tragedy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
I was just thinking of that because you hit that refrain, I think.
Yeah, what did I say? I said, I guess if you want to, that's not
one of my derailed.
No, that's not one of my strongest bars for show. But you get the point. It's kind of like it's like setting up a joke. It's like you saying like, oh, just even for the most basic shit, like, oh, bitch, I'm cold. I got ice on my neck or something. Boom. Okay. If I was a weak ass little Pump rapper, then that would be a bar. But you get what I'm saying. That was the punchline. Cold ice. Okay. Get it? Like. You know,
it's like a setup and then like a response or
setup and a punchline pretty much. And it has, but, so I wouldn't say that part right there. I was like, I just see my daddy smoking crack. That's a tragedy. That's not really a bar so much as it is like just facts, like just real life. Like I'm telling, you know, a story maybe, a bar is like when you hold up. I got you real quick. Y'all, let me look at something real quick.
Yeah. I like want to respond when you're saying that. Cause I think,
okay, here, let me wrote what I wrote. Let me say what I wrote the other day.
Okay.
Hey, I'll be making something out of nothing. They ain't trust me when I told them I could spit. They said I'm bluffing. I was hungry in my slumber, dreamed about an Egg McMuffin. I get dummy drunk at 1 a.m. and wake up with a bucket. I blow up and spit some flames. My volcano just erupted. Bar. Every time I mention paper, they attempt to change the subject. On the net, that boy a jester, so we pranked his ass in public. If you said something, address it, or you may get some comeuppance. Okay, the only like bar in there I would say is I blow up and spit some flames, my volcano just erupted.
Okay.
There's the bar, there's the punchline there. You see that? I blow up and spit some flames, volcano, boom, bar. Not my strongest, but you know, you get the point. That's like, so song has to have bars. You know, there's like, you gotta have good lyrics, so bars, good hook, or good, you know, chorus basically. And, sound good, sound cohesive. So once I get the first part of the song and I can lock in with that first line, then it really sounds like an actual song. Because if you started with some bullshit, then you basically didn't even start the song. If you started with some quiet ass little like,
I'd be rapping.
No, you gotta start strong. Start out in there, like get in there, like start the damn song off. Like all your favorite songs, like probably have their one of their most catchy lines right at the damn beginning. Like you know how all your favorite songs start, don't you? Because they start, you know, or like if they have lyrics, like pop songs, like you know, like people know how shit
starts.
I'm
thinking about like I've been running around, I've been looking
type shit, like.
No 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 no.
Anyway, so yeah, and then I'll go for like four lines. I try to go for four bars, so I'll go for, it's also a musical count, so it's like boom, boom. That's bar one, that's bar two, you know. I suck at life, but you get the point. It's like I'm, so after four bars saying four lines, four full thoughts that I punch in each one separately. I'll record something strong. I'll say, okay, my volcano just erupted. Boom, that's the first line. Every time I mention pay, they attempt to change the subject. Blah, 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 blah. That boy just got abducted. Something, something. I just ate a steak and egg McMuffin. I might wake up with a bucket. Puke so much it was disgusting. You know. So, but also, if I start getting too off track and I start sucking and just saying random shit like that, or I start fucking up my words, and then I got to take the headphones off, walk away from the computer for a little bit, like go take a sip of something, like. Because I get really those times when I try to do those takes over and over again, yeah. And I sit there for 30 minutes.
Can I pause to clear? So, like, let's say that we had this, like, Egg McMuffin four bars, like, as the example. Mm-hmm. Or the book. You would get locked into, like, I just want to, like, get these four bars to be, like, set for me.
For
like,
that, for, yeah,
you
exactly.
Want to feel, like, okay, they're locked or they feel good.
And then I don't feel like I need to do the next bar yet, or I don't need to think about it that much. Or now I can take the headphones off and go do something else and maybe take a break for the day. Or I can just take a break to sit over here and write something, and actually that without the pressure of having them like all this equipment on and shit like that. Let me just walk around, take a deep breath, get some water, and you know, try to hear it again, start it from the beginning, like outside of the studio and outside of the, so how is it sounding like in the real world out here, like, you know. Because when you get like, you know, you hyper fixate too, I'm sure, so
way too much.
You know, so
downfall of mankind.
Yeah. So it makes you overanalyze everything. And then sometimes I realize that, like, the first one I did was fun. And every other take, every 29th take that I did afterwards sucked ass. But I was just, like, so... And then you hear my voice get all scratchy. Just like it is now. Because I'll get, like... You know, once you're doing that, it's like working out your voice. So it's, like, gonna scrape it up pretty much by the end. And, okay, I gotta go... take a sip of some damn milk or eat some oatmeal or something, and, you know, lube my shit back up.
I got a sip on some milk, y'all.
You need some
direct
milk.
From a cow.
Seriously. Or Bundaberg's. Full circle.
Why doesn't Bundaberg have milk in a bottle is what I'm trying to get at.
Dude, they probably do. I heard they have squid milk.
See, I was going there for a second, and I was like, oh.
They have fish milk.
I was like, there ain't no fucking such thing as squid milk, but no. What about a bottle of squid ink?
Well, that's not really that impressive. I did that last week.
Just opaque black liquid.
Octopus are so cool. Shout out to the Blue Ring Octopus. I love you.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, great podcast topic. Just enjoy.
Oh, yeah. I would love to talk about animals for an hour. Seriously, I would do that on my podcast too. I fucking love animals. You know, just trading like facts with someone. Annoying. Or like we could be like, tell fake facts about animals.
Oh, yeah. And then splice in some real ones.
just spread misinformation. Did you know that rhinos hate turtles? Anytime they see them out in the wild, they kill them immediately. And they take their shells back to their nest.
Actually, the rhino horn, there's a certain kind of rhino that the horn can detach and go on like secret reconnaissance missions to find turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
And it stands on its hind legs.
The rhino horn?
No, the rhino.
Oh, the rhino.
You know, it's because it's cosplaying while it's walking around. It's just doing it, like acting like a dumb little animal. It knows what it's doing. It stands up on its legs and then it goes to the beaches and looks for the turtles and steps on them. Just murks them and takes all that, you know. They can't stand them. I don't know why. I don't know what the deal is.
Do you think that there is evil in animals? Also, I don't know what time you need to kind of wrap up
shindig. I'm, like I said, I don't do anything with my life, so.
That's like not really true if you've seen that Andrew has a SoundCloud, but.
Right, but nothing on the day to day. I don't have any appointments, you know, I should say. I do need to find an apartment though, because I'm stressing about that, but that's beside the point. What did you say about animals? Oh, is there evil in animals?
Yeah, like, because I know rhino, like animals can get aggressive and they can be territorial, but like, and I know that there is, I think some studies about like chimpanzees can kind of behave like pretty.
Oh, yeah. I think with intelligence, that's just like, I mean, we're the most evil species on the planet, right? So, and we're also the most intelligent.
As a simplified statement, I'd say I'm basically with you. I think that's
it's a fact. You know, it's default. You know, humans can do. I don't know if you could necessarily like, you know, a butterfly getting killed by like a
minions butterfly.
Damn. Yeah, like a butterfly getting killed by a freaking cat is not evil. You know, there was no intent behind it other than like. But I think like the more intelligent animals get, like. They can have the potential to actually be fucked up because then some animals aren't social, you know, so there's no eusociality. Like if it's not like they're around, like, you know, chimpanzees live in tight knit communities, like with their big old, you know, families. And they're also like hella fucking smart and they're addicted to like sex and, you know, they just have the potential to do more shit because their mind is bigger, you know, so it has more ways to think of probably fucking how to get things it wants and like, you know, forcefully get them. And but I also and then there's also like dolphins who like have been shown to like, you know, assault people like sexually, like, you know, time and time again, and they're like all about it, and they, you know, and they also, you know, do that shit with to other dolphins and like bully them and stuff like that. And like, so, but nothing compares to humans, you know, at all. So I would say compared to that now, because like, we don't know what's really going on inside their head, and we can't like, I would say unless it's, we're talking about the higher echelon of like super intelligent animals, like dolphins, certain primates, elephants. Yeah. Certain mammals, you know, stuff like that. But all of that could just be boiled down to like, because the last thing we were talking about was whether animals are evil, which has,
I love that. I mean, I know, it's me really too, but intense,
like
a but
different day and different. If we're trying to be like, I want to hear what else you wrote on there.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, this is real life multitasking brought to you by reality.
Mm-hmm. Unless you want to say anything more about the animals.
We were talking about animals, rhinos that are evil and kill turtles, dolphins, that chimpanzees that do some shit. I think we had. We were there, but the context has truly been like gone for me. That it would take me a long time to get back there.
Or you could ask me the things that you said you had lingering questions on. You said you had some more stuff you didn't get to.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I think we're spontaneously changing to a speed round.
Mm-hmm.
Set of questions. Do you try to record the whole song at once in one take? I think you covered this.
No, it takes me a couple days, and like with work in between, I, you know, like I said, I'll get burnout, so I'll go home and think I'm gonna do it, and It's a successful day when I get home from work and record something, because most of the time I'm too tired. So I don't hold myself to do that. So, but you also get, I get burned out really fast if I'm not, it depends on how much of it I have written out. If it's got all written out, then I can boom, zoom through it kind of relatively fast because I know what I'm going to do. But if I'm freestyling, then it might take a few days.
I'm
sharpening and editing, you know.
I'm cutting all of my clarifying questions to resume the speed round. How does intuition show up for you in your process?
Well, yeah, when sometimes when I am doing too many takes, I gotta like, all right, hold on a minute. I just did all these takes to do something that was trash, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. It was trash. I'm just only like paying attention to this small part. So let me let intuition take hold, restart the song from the beginning, and act like I'm a rando listening to it.
Mm.
Oh, no, I don't like that. That sounded weird. Take that part out. Okay, that part was cool. Sounded like it went smoothly. Feel the beat, run it back a little bit, and then, you know, try a new flow for, you know, every four bars, I'm usually like, okay, I'm either going to switch the flow or switch the rhyme scheme. Sometimes you just kind of, I just say, let the beat wash over you and just, you know, because when you start thinking about shit too much, then it's like, okay, I'm trying to think of a rhyme for, I don't know, tandem or something like that. There's so many, but like, I'm like, damn, I can't think of nothing. Candle, handle, pandle, friggin' panhandle, you know, sandal, like, Randall, a million things. And that's just with andle or whatever, so.
Andle.
But when you're trying to think of all that shit in the moment and you're on the beat and you're like, fuck, I gotta think of something. For some reason, it just doesn't come to you.
Hmm.
So push the damn chair back, go back here. Think about what melodies work. Try to harmonize, you know. Try to hit something. Oh, okay, wait, hold up. I just hit that note. Maybe I need to do something with that. Let me try a little something with that little note I just hit. Wait, hold on. That kind of sounds good. I'm going to do the next line with that sound. Now I got a melody. Cool. You know, just stopping thinking about it so much.
Hmm. I really love that.
Right or wrong, you know?
How do songs start for you? And I'll attach to the question, like, do you start with the hook? Or, like, when you have a good hook, do you feel like you know it? Do you feel it? But yeah, original question, how do songs start for you?
Well, that's the hard part. You know, I will find a beat on YouTube. And, this one kind of snaps.
Hmm.
I kind of like this one. I'm usually just playing through them like I would play any other music. Like, I'm just kind of listening through them. And if I catch something...
Instrumentals.
Instrumentals. And then I catch something that... I'm like, okay, I would listen to that. Or, like, I could hear myself on this. That's how I do it now. It's like, if I can hear myself on that beat, like... Huh. But also, the new album had kind of an aesthetic with the beats. They're all, like... You know, I was... When you look up a beat, you got to look up, say, your favorite artist type beat. Pharrell type beat. Lil Uzi type beat. Like... So it's give you something kind of in that general direction of what you're looking for, and you can kind of narrow it a little bit down. So what I do is all mine are like Florida trap rappers that are all like in prison now. But when I first started listening to rap, that was like my first exposure to trap, and like the bouncy beats, like the ones that I have on my album, those are all like with the trumpets and the loud, like boom, boom, boom. Like bouncy is probably the best word to describe it, as opposed to some other songs that are like, you know, oh, I hate guitars. I fucking hate them. Like on my... I don't need another heartfelt song about, you know, on a guitar and some trap beat or whatever. No, like, I like the loud, bombacious shit. So once I hear something that catches my ear, and I'm like, ooh, that kind of fits. That looks like it's like a puzzle. Like, I know where that's going to go in the album. Like, that sounds like this other beat. Or, like, I can, you know, once I find something that matches that aesthetic, then I'll be at work writing stuff down, you know, at home when I'm not recording.
When the instrumental's there and you're, like, building up some...
Yeah, well, I'll listen to it, and once I have the first line, then I can write stuff without the instrumental, because now I can just do poetry and, like, math and, like, matrix work and line up the rhymes with each other and go through it, and then it kind of all translates to the beat pretty fine, because it's almost like math a little bit, finding out what pockets you're going to hit and stuff. So, you know, once that starts and you can get the first line or the first melody or like whatever, the first four like on your song, then I feel like the rest of it flows easy to me because I'm like, okay, I have a concept, like I have a, or at least a, you know, that's where you can kind of start with the concept and also the vibe of the song, like how low, how high your voice is, how, what the lyrical content is. That's where everything starts. So you got to make sure that that four is kind of like representative of, that's how I feel. Yeah.
It's like the seed baby, the micro cut, like.
Mm-hmm. I'll just leave. So I have a bunch of these favorite beats that I keep in my phone. And I'm just like, whenever I feel like I need to go and fuck them up, then I'll go load them on. But I'll make little playlists and be like, all right, this is this album. Maybe next album I want to do stuff with this cloudy, trippy sound or whatever, you know.
It's like, and I always think of like, fireworks or like explosion. There's just like these, like this universe of like trillions of possibilities, and you're just like in there, like trying like attaching like random chords together, and just like, I'm gonna make some shit.
lyrically, definitely not physically, but that's how my mind feels. It's like, you know, a big old factory, and I'm trying to get the words to the right places. And, you know, I know a lot of fucking words, and like, but sometimes I'll think of something, like I'll just write down like a rhyme, like, who the fuck has said shanty town in this song before? or called somebody a gutter snipe or a scrumptious little trollop or something like that. I'm like, okay, no one said that before, and just by virtue of that, I'm saying that in my song. So if I start off with, you know, this bitch a trollop or something like that, there we go, that's perfect, because who, like, what the fuck did you just say? You know, so shanty town. And then I write, oh my God, camping ground. Okay, that'll be the next line. I don't know what I'm going to say in that bar, but I know it's going to end with shanty town, camping ground, turned her panties brown, you know? Or like,
she drank camp water and it was bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah, or freaking, a camel sound, you know? All sorts of stuff. So I'll just write random shit down, and I'm like, oh, wait, hold on, I kind of like that word. So I need to get a dictionary and just, or like, I love using like, I don't know. I love doing word banks and just doing word banks or phrase banks and just thinking of, you know, looking around. I've never said something about Australian or kangaroos. Like, okay, kangaroo. Sometimes it's hard to think, though. It's like when you're, you know, there's a lot of words in the world, but when you're trying to put them on a song, for some reason you can't, you're like scared, like, oh God, it's got to be like thinking about so many things. It's got to be cohesive and it's got to sound good. But also I don't want to say the same stuff as everyone else. I want to like throw, you know, so if I ever feel like something sounds too generic, there's a few that I had to take off the album because I was like, eh.
That's what really hit for me in just your music. I was like, I don't feel like he's being arbitrary about like any lyric will do, or like, it's fine, like whatever.
Yeah, no, like, definitely not. Like, I think before I used to, when I was just kind of like recording whole takes, but now it, since every line is punched in by itself, like it has to be good. Damn well better be good, because I'm stopping the recording after each one and thinking of what to say. So like, I have all the time in the world to be like, it's a shanty town. You know, I just brought the tent up. I turned this bitch to a camping ground or something like that. So it's like, you know, gotta be strong with each line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking those pauses for that reason, so I can emphasize each, you know, rhyme that I can. But now it's like, I love the combination of saying outrageous stuff and like humor it. Like, I love one of my favorite rappers, his name's Ryota Young OG, and he's from Michigan, and he's not from Florida, but he raps on a whole different kind of beat, but it's the same thing where he's like, he's so, like, he's hella hard. Like, his shit is super gangster rap or whatever, but he says the most outrageous, crazy shit. Like, I might pee on someone like R. Kelly or some shit like that. Just like, you're like, what? But it also still goes, because then he rhymes the next line with R. Kelly and it sounds fire. And I'm like, just damn. So it's like, you can laugh, but also be like, but also don't fuck with this dude. He knows what he's doing. He's not just being funny. Like he's saying that shit to make you be like, damn, bruh. Damn. You know, so that combination I feel like is kind of like my sweet spot now. Like I wasn't sure, you know, in Purple Palace, what am I gonna be with my artistry? Like meaningful and all gay and like lame and stuff. I can say that, by the way, I made it out of the closet. Or do I just wanna be hard or whatever? But now I kind of feel like that's kind of like my lane. Like now, like some of my shit can make you laugh, or you know, I can say funny stuff, but also, you know, make it sound good. So, because
this is not a speed round.
I know. I'll shoot myself after we're done with the podcast.
I'm not a criticism. I love that. It's like a runaway train with flowers like exploding off of the sides. It's like nothing. Made it out of the closet. Let's see.
I'm a penniless gutter snipe.
There's another question about when was the first time you rapped?
Oh my god.
When was the first time that you felt inspired to...
Oh, like the first time you made a song that you felt inspired to make more of, the first time you felt good about like a track you'd made. I think I'm kind of talking about like an early initial success where you're like, oh, I'm going to like take what I have. Like, I feel like I got something, or I feel like I want to like reinvest what I know into like kind of doing it again.
Mm-hmm. I had when I started, it was like in 2020, I would say, not when I first got to college, but I had listened to rap pretty much all throughout the end of like middle school and high school, and you know, and
because you listen to music.
Yeah, music, but hip-hop specifically. Okay. like you know, and I used to be the gay kid that would listen to Lady Gaga, and I still love, you know, I have love for all these pop artists sometimes and stuff. Yeah. Like that in certain places.
Gorillaz.
But for right now, my life has mostly transitioned, like, you know, ever since high school, it's been all about hip-hop, like my favorite artists, like following, you know, and just expanding the list of like people that I really listen to in rap, and also expanding my knowledge of rap and like older shit, like older classics, the, you know, the underground scene, like, and then now, so in 2020, when COVID happened and I was stuck inside, I got this microphone, I forgot where, but it was the worst shit ever. It was like a small little podium and then this crappy ass, like almost 1980 show host mic with a little tiny ball on the top, and it was like, doop, no filter or anything like that. Just like bink, like it was probably for some weak ass podcast or like voice message or something, like nowhere near this quality and I recorded a few songs on that, and I did them on my floor, like sitting right here with them, with it just the USB just plugged right into my computer, like, so started from the bottom for real, like, and it was trash.
You're just like, why not?
Yeah, why not? But I thought it was good for some reason. But it was more kind of, I was all over the place though. I wasn't flowing good at all. My shit sucked. I would drag out, like hearing it now makes me cringe, but I also love listening to it because it's inspirational as fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, I'm hard as hell now. Like I'm a bona fide like artist now. Like, and I can say that. Like before I was like, yeah, this is cool, but I never felt like I was an artist. I guess I feel like until, you know, kind of like with Purple Palace, but now I'm like, I really, really like care about my craft. And now I kind of like know what I'm doing. Like I know where my niche is, and mm-hmm. and I've addressed all the gay stuff, the allegations. And
I really love that voice shift, but
so I've addressed all the allegations, and you know, now I feel like it's just like, all right, I'm going to do exactly what I set out to do and just be like, be the representation that I wanted. Mm. And in this extremely homophobic culture, hip hop culture, like, you know, that's frowned upon. And also all the gay guys that are rapping about gay stuff, you know, they're gay. They're talking about bouncing on dick. And,
oh, okay.
You know,
like kind of an overt. Like,
yeah, I mean, all the ones that I know, all the famous ones, Lil Nas X eventually started doing that and started doing all this rage bait shit. And it's like, okay, whatever, live your life, do. But also it's like shit like that, because now it's like, oh my God, he's twerking on the devil. This is why gay people need to be like, and I'm like, well, there's, it's not just that. I don't fucking do that. Like, I'm like, I just want to be hard, just like everyone else. I want to make shit that sounds good. And I don't want to talk about, like, you know, that's why I say, like, so I feel like Made It Out the Closet is kind of like me acknowledging that I have to play this character to, like, to almost to do this. But also I'm, you know, I know who I am, and I'm not here to do, like, gay raps or whatever. I want to be the representation of, like, not a gay rapper, but a rapper that happens to be gay.
Yeah.
After this point, like, you know, and but the first things first is that my music sounds fucking good and it sounds hard as fuck. And then who I'm with is second to that, you know, as opposed to, like, I'd be bouncing on that. Like, first of all, I'm not like that in life. So I'm, you know, twerking music don't really, like, appeal to me anyways. I just love bars. I just love saying clever shit and witty stuff. Subtle quips. That's what I love about it. You know, and if those get more meaningful over time, then that's good. That's what I want to happen. But when I first started, I sucked. Yeah. 4 years now, damn, bro. I was not speedrun. I just talked for 4 years.
Maybe as a question to just, like, a last question to fire away is, like, can you talk about, like, what the word flow means for you and, like, what flow feels like and, like, your relationship to a sense of flow? Because I think, I mean, I it's something I'm really interested in as a concept. It's something that I think is, like, fascinating in life as sort of, like, a phenomenon. And
yeah.
It's also what I really loved about, like, some of your songs is, like, there's just, like, these times where you have, like, a full solid minute of just, like, wow, that was, like, it just, like, really, I don't know. I always feel like it's, like, you know, you're, like, shooting heroin in your ears or something, or, like,
yeah,
it's, like, there's this feeling of, like, oh yeah, it's like a big rush and it's, like, all at once. And it's really intense, but
it's oddly satisfying when you hear this stuff, just like with, I don't sing, but it's the same thing, you know, when you hear people hit notes on the exact same key and same beat, you know, the same way, it's like, ooh, damn, she hit that shit. That's what rap is. It's like, that's why, you know, there's all different kinds of music, but that's what rap focuses on, is giving you that feeling through the lyrics specifically, you know, what the person is talking about and, like, how they're able to manipulate words and stuff like that. And that's, so flow is, you know, when you feel like, oh, damn, he just went for a full minute. Yeah, he was flowing for a minute. Like, he had a good pocket that he kept, like, he found it turned flow. If you have a good flow that takes your songs from you just saying stuff on the beat to actually rapping,
wow.
You know, like making it, you know, I don't know. It's like adding... Yeah, turning all your bars into single like units on the song, like as pieces of a song, as opposed to like just saying random words that happen to rhyme. Like, I feel like I have problems with that sometimes. Like, if it just sounds too like, okay, I'm rhyming, sure, like I'm rhyming, but it doesn't really sound that great. Okay, the flow's not that good then. There's different things in songs, you know. It's like you gotta have lyrics. You gotta have, my holy trinity is lyrics, flow, swag. That's it. So you gotta have good lyrics, you know, good rhyming skills, a good flow, a good sense of like melody and rhythm and shit like that, and meter, I guess. It's just like poetry or whatever. It turns, but it you know, when I would first do it, I was just saying stuff like, oh, I mean, heavy soiled. Oh, there's land I done toiled. I was like, okay, whatever, brother. You're just spitting poetry over a beat, as opposed to working on your breath control and, like, you know, if that makes sense. I guess I don't really know how to explain it, but flow is like your delivery, basically, how you're saying it and what melody or whatever, you know, like, I'll be standing on that business. I'm a balancer. He is Oh, wait, like a scavenger. I be standing on that business, I'm a balancer. He is square and think he hard until he marked him like a calendar. I be pouring gallons up, I just got more talenter. When I'm going up, I might blow up like the challenger. I would kill my daddy if he saw me. If I saw him, he abandoned me. How you up and leave your only son? That's insane. Now you texting on a gram trying to tell me he's a fan of me. I'm like, damn right, because I know you're not family. As opposed to, you know, because I know you're not the family. You was just a fan of me. I don't like you. You're not a man of me. Then I'm in a man of me. Then I'm in an enemy. Then I'm in a man of me. The flow right there is then, you know? They're like, it's like pockets of melodies and stuff like that for different parts of the song. Lots of bad habits, they gonna lay me down, lay me down. Lots of bad habits, they gonna lay me down. I just lost a couple stacks about my bank account. I was running track, get my dragons, I'm gonna chase them down. You get the, that's, you hear the melody right there. As opposed to, you know? That's my explanation.
It makes me think of like, you know, an animation, how you have like, this is not a perfect analogy, but like you have the individual cells and, but then like the magic is like you put them together with this, in this kind of like bigger structure, and that it does the magic. And I appreciate you sort of saying what comes to mind for you in that, with that question.
Yeah, that's why I don't like listening to my first songs, because they all just sound like I was just talking. Like you can kind of like, when you first start rapping, is, you know, it's like you think you have lyrics. Like, okay, I was like, I got some lyrics written down, I might as well say it, but you know nothing about flow. Like, I guarantee if I got you on a song or somebody that don't do that shit, you could say some shit. Like, I could tell you to rhyme and have a rhythm, but as opposed to like really letting, like kind of merging into the beat as one and trying to find, you know, like, I don't know, it's like an instrument. It's like you want to move along with it, and like, as opposed to just having it be in the background, you know, like you want to fuse with it.
Nuclear fusion.
So flow is like the hardest thing to, I would say you get lyrics first. When you, as a journey of a rapper, your lyrics get better over time, and then your flow gets better over time, and then eventually a certain swag starts to develop. And that's where I feel like, not saying that any of those things are perfect right now, but I'm feeling like I finally have like a swagger to me. Like I have a niche, like I have a sound, like a defined sound with this last album, which
that's what a swagger is.
Well, like no, swagger, style, swagger, either one. Like, I have a certain style. Like, I have the way I talk, like, the way I, kind of scratchy voice, kind of raspy, sounds like I'm, like, yeah, freaking out, like, you know, loud, bombacious. Like, that's my style. That's my niche right now.
How do you want an outro?
I don't know. Have you spit some bars?
You should freestyle.
Okay.
Really? I mean, it's like being embarrassing in public for like the sake of being like identifying this is not my talent zone, but sometimes I get into the other zone where I make I was like, immediately my brain goes to like,
was that you rapping?
It's like, okay, immediately, right. About like, oh, like line people up and shoot them down and blast their heads off.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's immediately when into
you
get like,
you just have to say stuff like that. It's whatever. That's part of the whole, that's the you know, sometimes you need placeholders, and if you can't think of anything else, blow them down. You know, pull the chopper out, blow them down, you know, hit his house type shit. Like,
yeah, I mean,
but I tend not to, I don't like going back to like, you know, typical whatever. We should end it by thanking Bundaberg for their sponsor, inevitably, of course. And
thanks, Bundaberg.
Let's see. what can we do on the radio? Well, ask me one last, we'll do one last ridiculous question. Ask me anything.
One last ridiculous?
About anything in the world, animals or...
I can't. I have to go out on like a serious question if it's the last question. That's at least how I feel in the moment. What about like... I don't know. Like hope in the present.
Hope in the present?
Yeah. Hope in the present. Like, life is so incredibly complex and there's a shitload of like issues and they're personal and they're in the world and we're all trying to like be little fishies like coordinating and it's super messy, but like I know that question like, you know, is somewhere in everyone's mind about like what is this all for or like how can we make it be something that like is good for everybody.
I mean, I feel like, you know, my goal right now is to just be happy. And that's what, you know, people need to focus on because the world's always going to be fucked up and fucked up shit's always going to happen and paying attention to the effed up stuff is just going to make, you know, everything harder. Like I struggle all the time, struggle every day still, but to have something to feel proud about and, you know, that I can actually call my own and like, I don't know, escape, have some escapism, then I feel like, you know, I'm golden. I feel like a lot of people should follow suit. Just find something that you dig and tuck and jump all the way into it. And as long as you like it, keep doing it and don't stop and, you know, post that shit. And I always respect people that like post their, whenever I see people post their art or their stand-up or whatever, even if it sucks, because I'm like, well, let's start doing something. They're probably feeling the exact same way I do. Like, shit is fucked up. Well, at least I have this, you know? So, like, who am I to judge?
Mm.
So, that's the hope I have. As long as I have, you know, that, then I'm good.
Outro. Okay.
Thanks for having me.
thanks for being on Popcorn Forest.